a scripture I haven't spoke out of for many years, but it's one of the most important books in the Psalms, and the 32nd Psalm. You can turn there, and this is kind of what he's dealing with here. I want to use the last two verses there for a text. Then we're going to go back. It's only 11 verses of it. He runs us down on all the ways that we have to get to where we can be faithful and to God and all these things. Verse 10 and verse 11, 32nd Psalm, verse 10 and verse 11. It says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Many sorrows. Listen to it. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout with joy, all ye that are upright in the heart. Ain't you glad that your heart is upright? That you have the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Nehemiah 8 and 10 said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. David is writing this psalm, and this is the way he concludes it, that many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him around about. You know, he said in the 23rd Psalm, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy love and thy mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Now here he says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright. Now he said, the sorrows belongs to the wicked, but the joy belongs to the righteous. You have a right to rejoice. I have a right to rejoice. Now let's go back and go through this. And the first two verses, he talks about the blessed, just like he does in Psalms 1. So here in the 32nd Psalm, verse 1 and verse 2, he talks about the blessed in two verses. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How many knows what our sin is covered with? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that man is blessed. His transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. So he said, now he's blessed. I'm glad that my sin is covered. I like that song. I'm free from the fears of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. I'm free. Pray God, I'm free and free at last. The next verse said, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. That man's blessed. Blessed is that man whom the Lord imputeth. Now, who could these people be? They will have to be the faithful, because the unfaithful is not going to be blessed. Bible plainly declares that. So if we're faithful in the things of the Lord, we might look at things that if we don't watch it and get discouraged just about the time that God's getting ready to do something real powerful. I'm like Brother Bobby said there a while ago, I've got a feeling that God's getting ready to do something powerful. And he's going to bring in people like Josh there and different ones, young people maybe, and older folks and middle-aged folk that's ready to have the joy of the Lord in the heart. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. He's got rid of iniquity. And in whose spirit there is no guile. We have to have a right spirit. See, one scripture David said, renew a right spirit in 51st Psalm. Renew a right spirit in me. Then I'll teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Every one of us right here that's faithful here tonight, we can go home and to our neighbors and to our families, and you can teach them the way of a transgressor is hard, but the way of the Lord is a rejoicing way. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So he took care of the blessed first. Now, let's look here. He goes into those that needs to be blessed. Verse 3, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. I've always marveled at how he put that. When I kept silence, when I didn't say nothing, when I didn't rejoice, when I didn't have the joy in my heart, then he says, what happened? My bones waxed old through my roaring all days long. So here's what he's saying. We either roar or shout. How many'd rather shout as roar? Roaring all day. Like that. Other scriptures puts it roaring like a lion. So David said, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. In other words, I needed to get something that had joy in it. I needed to renew myself. I needed something. He said, the roaring all day long and my bones waxing old, I have to do something. Verse 4, for the day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. God's hand was heavy upon him, trying to get him to straighten up, trying to get him to rejoice. Day and night, the condemnation and conviction was verse 3. And now we're into verse 4, and it's unrest. For the day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into a drought of summer. Selah. So it's unrest, and then God's hand, divine hand, is upon him day and night, dealing with him, trying to get him to get to the place that he's faithful, that he has joy in his heart, that he has the power of God. And then we come to verse 5. He finally comes to the place of confession. How many knows the Bible said we have to confess our sin before the Lord? Get rid of it. But you have to confess it. There's people I know right now all over the world that's got sin in their lives. They won't confess it, and therefore they can't have the joy of the Lord, and they can't be ruled among the faithful because they don't have the joy. What did he say? Come on in, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into what? He didn't say enter into trouble. He said enter into the joy of the Lord. And entering into the joy of the Lord requires faithfulness. And David understanding this, but he's bringing it all out here. And verse 5, in his confession, he says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. And mine iniquity have I not hid. My iniquity I haven't hid from you. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Then he said, he forgive me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Forgive me. You know, then he's getting free, getting freed up. And so the next thing in verse 6, it says that he's going to seek the Lord, seek God. And prayer is enjoined in this here. Verse 6 said, for this shall everyone that is godly, there's that word godly or ungodly, that is godly, everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Let everyone that's godly pray unto him in a time when he may be found. Today he may be found, but tomorrow he may not be found. But David said, pray in a time when he may be found. Surely the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh thee. Then he brings in security. Security. The floods of great waters shall not come nigh thee. That's the end of verse 6. Now the next one, verse 7, is he finds a hiding place. How many has found the hiding place in the Lord? One place it says he hid them under his feathers. Somebody said, I didn't know God had feathers. I forget where that scripture is, but it said he hid them under his feathers. So here's, listen what he said here in verse 3. See, God wants to take care of us. He wants to bless us. He wants us to have joy, but he wants us to be faithful. He said, you've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Now, David is coming through this process here, and in verse 7, he's finding a hiding place. Verse 7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Just think of the songs of deliverance, the songs of joy that we've heard and sang tonight. The joy of the Lord. We sing. You know, I love the springtime because you begin to hear the redbirds. They just chattering, you know, and you begin to hear the robin and see the robin around. And they're saying, spring is coming, spring is coming. And when they come a little bit early, you say, boy, they've missed it. No, they haven't missed it. They know just exactly what they're doing. They know the nature of everything. And so therefore, in the nature, they know what. And now God can tell us what he wants us to know. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. You know, when things gets a little dull for you, just sing a song. It's like the Redbirds. I like to hear those Redbirds. They really get with it. Their throats used to go in a song. They sound joyful. Sing. He found a hiding place. The hiding place was in the Lord. We need to find that hiding place away from all these things. We have to get away. Sometimes we have to get away from each other. Find a hiding place in the Lord. Just talk to the Lord. Just pray. Just seek God. So David is bringing us through this here in the 32nd Psalm. And so he's found the hiding place. Now in the verse 8, he begins to take instructions. How many knows a lot of folks just don't like instruction at all? But if it's something that instructs them, they don't like anything. And then listen what he says in verse 8. The Lord speaking, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. So now David's getting instruction. But then he comes on down and he talks about horses and mules. And this is a good one here. Verse 9, he said, be ye not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with the bit and the bridle, lest they come near unto thee. And it says on the side note here, stubbornness, grossness. The horse, the mule, that has to have bits in his mouth, that has to have something to pull on to twist him around, he's stubborn. And it said, don't be like the horse. This is God speaking to David. Don't be like the horse. Don't be like the mules. Don't get into this grossness. Get some understanding. Don't go along with no understanding. Don't be stubborn. Be humble. In other words, bring yourself in line with the Word of God and do what the Word of God said. And it's the remedy for everything that the faithful Christian needs. I've studied this. I haven't preached on this probably in 25 years. Then he ends this here with all of his instruction and everything that he's got David through. And verse 10, that's the text. We're going to read that and then we're going to quit. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Let's go back to the 23rd Psalm here just a minute, and let's just browse through that just a little bit before we go on. Look what the 23rd Psalm says. The Lord is my shepherd, David said. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What a place to be. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. David had lots of enemies. They was nagging at him all time. Enemies. And you find different places where he was praying for God to remove that. The enemies. But he said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's talking about eternity here. This is important business here. So back to the scripture here in chapter 32, verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Goodness and mercy, David said, is going to follow me all the days of my life. Somebody said, why would we tell the devil to get behind me? Because goodness and mercy will nibble him up. Goodness and mercy will destroy his work. How many know Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil? Look at verse 11. Now, we're talking about shouting ground. We're talking about the blessing of the faithful. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. You know, if we just had three people here tonight, it wouldn't be a thing in the world that we need to go home feeling all bad and beat down. Because we had two friends where two or three are gathered together. So who's going to be there? Said, the Lord's going to be with us. So we're not to never be discouraged. We don't allow the enemy to discourage us. We take the Bible and we bring out what God has done for others. How many knows what God has done for others? He'll do it for you. If he done it for David, he'll do it for me. If he does it for me, he'll do it for you. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I change not. David said, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in the heart. Now, if you keep the victory, Brother Josh, he's going to keep the victory, and I know that, I feel positive about that, then somebody else is going to see the victory in you, and they're going to come to this church, and they're going to get saved. And if everybody else keeps the victory and is faithful in the things of God, you're going to draw somebody to this house, and we're going to have a church that's got power in it, and we're going to have a church that has the glory in it, and we're going to have a church that has the blessing in it. We're going to have a church that has instruction in it. We're going to have a church where you can get your healing. We're going to have a church where you can sing the songs of Zion and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. That's the word. David was very familiar with this, and he covered this so plainly in the 32nd Psalm that it's just a beautiful thing to think. So don't look at things like other people look. Just like reading, you know, as I told you how to study the Bible, and Andy said he picked up on that, and he's getting a lot more out of the Bible now because he knows how to divide one word and go in and find the meaning of this, and it brings out and it enlightens us to it. So if we just keep on doing what God said to do, and we keep the victory ourselves, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is a substance, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we must keep the faith, and that faith will bring us through to where we have a joy in the Lord. And let me read that one verse again, verse 11, be glad in the Lord. You know what David said? I was glad when they said unto me, let us what? Let us go to the house of the Lord. Are you glad when it gets church time? Huh? Let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's go and worship. Let's pray. Let's talk to him. Somebody said, well, went to church and there ain't nobody. Wasn't nobody there. Well, you got the Lord's there. You can talk to him. You don't have to be in church to talk to the Lord. You can get down and pray somewhere in your home, or get in a corner someplace or other, or your closet, so to speak, and get a hold of God, and you can come out of there shouting. You know, sometimes simplicity things works. There's a man that got saved at Donovan, Missouri, when I first went there 48 years ago. And he had heard the saying, you know, that get in your closet and pray. So I talked to him one day, and I set some bait out there. He was always, his wife had already got saved, and the children had got saved, and the families got saved, but he was hanging out because he was playing music in a nightclub. And he said to me one day, he said, what can I do to help around the church here? I want to help around the church. And he said, can I mow the grass? Can I do this? And can I do that? I said, you know what we need here? We need some people to work with the Sunday school, and we need some people. And he said, oh, I can't do that. I'm not saved. I said, you know, God can fix that before next Sunday. Now, simplicity. This man went and got into his clothes closet, and he prayed through. He wept and cried and prayed through, and he called the house, and he said, I just got in the clothes closet and prayed through. I'll be out Sunday morning, and I'll begin to take on some duties around the church. He said, I'm saved. I'm born again. He said, that man became a preacher, and he's preached over 40 years. Won lots of souls, but it was a way of snagging him. He hooked into it. He was so sincere that anybody would ask him, what would you like to do in the church? I was telling people, we need people to do this. Like you're kidding Josh about here. It ain't going to be all like that, Josh. They're going to go ahead and put you to work mowing and all that kind of stuff. But he was so interested in this that he was willing to humble himself, and he'd always heard about getting in your closet and praying. He just figured his cloak on. You know who that was? Dale Hawkins, a minister that preached over 40 years. I've had some wonderful things happen in my ministry. Just stuff like that. When I had a chance to just win the man to God in a strange, peculiar way. We need you here at the church. What can I do? I need help with the Sunday school. Oh, I can't do that. I'm not saved. But he got saved. And it wasn't but just a few weeks he had the Holy Ghost. him and his wife both received the Holy Ghost. You know, God's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we ask or think, according to that power that works in us. And there's not a person sitting here tonight that's not got power to win a lost person. God has given you that ability. You may have a strange way of getting to them, but, you know, just you living for God and being faithful, that they're watching that. They're watching that. And those things are wonderful things that we can keep in our mind. And I don't know, there's no need in doing anything but shouting around all the time as far as I'm concerned. I know we have days that we have problems. We have to deal with problems. But that shouldn't get us down. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all these things, we're more. No, we're not just barely going to get along the street. We're more than a conqueror. We got the victory. And as long as you've got the victory, you've got a chance of winning a soul. Fishers of men. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. That's what you're supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be. We're fishers of men. So I want to close with this.